Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, Frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche Zespri Sangold Kiwi. Das Stück für nur 55 Cent. Oder dunkle Tafeltrauben. 500 Gramm für nur 1,79 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Welcome to Studios America. We're going to get started here in just a second. But first, a word from Jace Medical. In the wake of Hurricane Beryl, over 2 million people were left without power in Texas. And during the summer, during the heat, during the humidity, Texans, of course, have to prepare themselves for the nonsense weather-wise that goes on here. But with weather like this, it can be difficult to get to pharmacies and doctors. And there's something that you can do to ensure that you and your loved ones have the medication on hand when you need it. It's called the Jace Case, and it will allow you to start stocking up on medication now so that you're prepared for whatever comes down the road. The Jace Case is a personalized emergency kit that contains essential antibiotics and medications that treat the most common deadly bacterial infections. I mean, we kind of look at this as a situation where we take it for granted, right? Like, you know, of course, antibiotics will always be around. Well, it's not the case. There's a huge shortage in a lot of these things right now. So just prepare yourself. Just be ready. You buy once, and then you're going to be done for a very, very long time. Fill out a simple online form, and you'll just have it in case you need it. Jace Medical encourages you to take your family's health into your own hands. So go to jace.com and enter the code STU at checkout for a discount. Use the code STU at jace.com, J-A-S-E.com. It is the Jace Case from Jace Medical.
STU does America.
The State of the Race podcasts is available for you. Yes, the State of the Race is a podcast series that we do on the Studios America stream. Watch the show and get a great bonus material as well on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Studios America. Subscribe to the channel and get everything that you need, including live broadcasts. Yes, live broadcasts. We do it all the time on YouTube. Whenever a big thing happens, just click the bell for notifications and we will tell you when we're going live. Jill Savage is here to talk about the hottest new Olympic sport, woman beating. I've got the latest on the Secret Service failure surrounding the failed Trump assassination attempt. But we're going to start by doing a weird election. Yes, weird is your word of the day. I don't know how long this lasts. This is part of the campaign announcement, I guess, for Kamala Harris. We're all going to say weird for a few days, and it's going to be weird to say weird for a while. I don't know. I like the word weird. I say it a decent amount just off the top of my head. And the only reason I've noticed it is because now every time I say weird, I can start thinking about the stupid Kamala Harris thing. But anyway, it's been a really ridiculous couple of days. Let me bring you through it and kind of give you some perspective on Harris campaign has one word to describe Trump advance. Weird. Weird. They all started saying weird right at the same time. Now, J.D. Vance is just brushing this off. He says feelings not hurt by weird insult from Democrats. And of course, it's not hurt. But I will say, you know, his launch of his VP campaign has been somewhat derailed. This is obviously what they're trying to do. And instead of him going around and doing interviews on inflation or these big topics that actually matter to voters, he's around defending comments he made 3 years ago that no one heard at the time. So in some ways, this has been a successful effort by the Democrats. They've thrown really the only thing being covered right now on Donald Trump or J.D. Vance is J.D. Vance's comments from 3 years ago where he said childless cat ladies in a joke. That is apparently too offensive for people today. And so he's weird for saying that or something. It's hard to understand. Now, Matt Walsh points out that, you know, the left mantra for cities has been keep it weird. They've celebrated weirdness as a virtue for decades. Now, in the blink of an eye, they pivot using weird as a pejorative. In a few weeks, they'll go back to using it as a term of endearment. And it does seem like this is the pattern, right? They just... You're ever going down, I don't know if you have, but remember driving a manual transmission car and you're maybe backing up a little bit and your car is rolling and you kind of let it come to a stop and then you put it into first gear and then go forward. Well, they just kind of like are going 65 on the highway and throw it in reverse and don't think of it, anything of it. And they just expect everybody around them to just kind of cover for them. And all the media comes in as mechanics and fixes the transmission on the fly. And then they're going the other direction as if nothing ever happened. This is the way our election's going to go. I beg you all the time to join Blaze TV. Why do I beg you to do that? Because it needs to have a bigger footprint. We need to have more people watching it, because there's only reason that this stuff ever seems to get disproved is because The Blazer, another conservative organization, points it out. The media itself just goes to sleep and tries to ignore it, unless they're cheering something on, which of course they were doing to get Biden out for a couple of weeks. Then they were doing their job for a couple of weeks. Now they've gone back into hibernation. Steve Krakauer, who's been on the program before, he points this out, and this is very true. The weird talking point is a tacit admission by the left and the Acela media that the threat to democracy talking point was overblown and ineffective. They are deliberately lowering the stakes to a level that they will hope will resonate with average voters. I think this is really true. It's something we've talked a little bit about. The only reason you go to this tactic, well, everything's kind of weird, these guys are kind of weird, is because you've tried constantly escalating your rhetoric for 10 years now with Donald Trump, and people are just burned out on it, frankly. Even if Donald Trump were a threat to democracy, even if he were going to implement the Handmaid's Tale, people wouldn't believe it, because they've been saying it for so long, it doesn't happen. Over and over and over and over again. It's similar to global warming in that way. They keep promising you catastrophe, the world's going to end, and it doesn't happen. Actually, things just seem to get, you know, a little bit better. Outside of government interference, things seem to get a lot better. In fact, we've, you know, taken billions of people out of poverty, and people are living longer lives than ever, and people are enjoying their lives. They have more wealth, more things, more free time. Less of their income goes towards staples that you need, like food, shelter, and clothing. All that keeps improving because of capitalism, but they keep saying that disaster's around the corner no matter what. So that's eventually it just loses its power, right? People just look at you and say, all right, I've heard you say the world's going to end 100 times. It is the boy who cried wolf. I hate to gender that boy because I never really asked him what his gender was. But this is real. The left is trying this tactic. They're trying to launch the campaign of Kamala Harris by calling the vice president, mainly, of the other party weird. This is from the Washington Post. No, really, Republicans are getting weirder. Democrats embrace weird messaging on Trump. This is from the New York Times. And this is like, you know, the media does this all the time. They just give you a headline that echoes what the Democrats say and act like they're just analyzing it as a campaign tactic, right? So they can repeat it without really questioning whether it's true or not, or whether it's an appropriate thing to do. Just like, hey, you know what Republicans or Democrats are saying a lot? They're saying this. That's just a way of furthering the narrative. Mary Trump apparently said something. She said, deeply weird and disturbed. Trump needs to be mocked mercilessly. And this stuff gets picked up, even when it's crappy sources like that. You get winds up going to bigger newspapers. You also got this one. Tim Walz, Democratic Party latches onto calling Trump weird. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz helped kick it off the trend. This is a hot thing for the online left right now, that Tim Walz is going to be the VP. It's possible. I mean, he's probably one of the top five or so when you're talking about possibilities for Kamala Harris, though it just seems to me to be overblown. They're really going to, I mean, they tried this with Tim Kaine, take the boring old white guy and hope he doesn't do anything. You know, Walz also is one of these guys that tries to be, he likes the media a little too much. You know, like he's one of these guys that likes to be in front of the camera, likes to kind of come up with the quote that everyone's talking about. And it seemingly worked with all of his buddies on Weird. He also said socialism is nothing but being neighborly. He likes to just say things. Right. He likes to say things. He likes to be quoted. He likes that stuff. And it's the type of thing that if Kamala Harris is smart, she'll avoid, because for every one that he hits, he's going to miss with three or four and wind up burning you with middle range voters. Maybe she'll be dumb enough to pick him. I don't think she will. I still think it's going to be Shapiro or Kelly. I kind of tend to think it's going to be Shapiro, but I could go. I wouldn't be surprised by Shapiro or Kelly. I keep thinking people are like, oh, he's going to pick George Clooney. He's going to pick John Stewart. That would be, I mean, why not? In this world, why the hell not? Why not just pick some big celebrity and see how it goes if you're Kamala Harris at this point? Who knows? Representative Swalwell labels Trump Vance ticket weird and creepy. There is not a more creepy person on the planet than Eric Swalwell. Like, if Eric Swalwell is going to be the focus of the next Terrifier sequel. Like, he is the most creepy person on the planet, bar none. I mean, there are vagrants under bridges who are in the middle of knifing people that are less creepy than Eric Swalwell. The fact that he's even out here doing it shows you they've got the talking points, and somebody read the talking points to Swalwell, because obviously he is illiterate. Hillary Clinton, if Republican leaders don't enjoy being called weird, creepy, and controlling, they could try not being weird, creepy, and controlling, said Hillary Clinton about the person who defeated her. So what does that make you, Hillary? It means the American people hate you more than weird creeps. That part of her analysis is true, though I don't agree with the rest of it. Ted Lieu, that's weird. Why would Trump not want children to be protected from diseases like tetanus, measles, mumps, whooping cough, polio, etc.? Because the 19th century really wasn't that great. And of course, you read the Trump quote, "I will not give one penny to any school that has vaccine mandates." He's not saying vaccines are bad. He's saying vaccine mandates are bad, which is just a position saying government shouldn't be involved in what you do with you and your family's bodies, which is seemingly a quote from liberals when it comes to abortion. But apparently in this case, your body is not your choice. Your body, not your choice in this particular case. And, you know, if you want something stupid, you always go to AOC. She's here. Vivek wrote, "The whole weird argument is dumb and juvenile." She writes, "Being obsessed with repressing women is goofy." Like, what the hell? Did she just put this in the ChatGPT? Like, there's no effort put into this. This is the thing about AOC, and we talked about this before. You know, it's just lazy. If you want to have the dumbest version of your opponent's arguments, you just go to AOC's Twitter page and she gives it to you. Here it is. "Being obsessed with repressing women is goofy. Trying to watch what LGBTQ people do is abnormal. But punishing people who don't have biological offspring is creepy." It's so fascinating to see them embrace these words. Like, abnormal is a word they've been repulsed by. They say you can't. What is normal? What is normal? How dare you? Now, all of a sudden, they've decided to completely flip-flop on that one. And you're not supposed to notice. And then they'll go back to it next time a Republican uses the word abnormal or weird or creepy. This is just what they do. It's legitimately pathetic. And then, of course, we have the train wreck that was white dudes for Harris. Liberal white dudes rally for Harris like a rainbow of beige, is the quote from the New York Times. I don't think Trump has a white guys for Trump movement. I don't even like, honestly, they have blacks for Trump. They have gays for Trump. They have Asians for Trump. I don't like. Why do we break things down that way? Why? We don't need to do that. Nobody needs to do it. You don't need to have white guys for Trump. You don't need to have black women for Trump. You don't need to have white guys for Harris or black guys for Harris. None of that is just stupid. Stop it. This is supposed to be an election that's getting the head of a country that is the world leader, the greatest nation the globe has ever conceived of. And yet, this is the way we're picking these people. It's absolutely laughable. And it's also just complete gaslighting, right? Like, calling Republicans weird when you're the party that is nonstop, crazily bizarre is just, like, obvious gaslighting. They're trying to get us to get all worried about it and fired up about it. And, of course, they are trying to hopefully get some ninth-string Republican to say something really, really terrible that they can then use as, like, "Do you believe they called this group weird?" That's coming. Some Republican's going to get on Twitter and say something that's wrong, and then they're going to act like it's Donald Trump's opinion. This is going to happen right around the corner. But, like, all the stuff they do can fairly be described as weird. It's just true. And it has been true, and everybody knows that it's true. And my suspicion here is they're going to overplay their hand with this. It'll be interesting to watch, because at some point, Republicans are going to land on messaging that is able to solve this little boomlet they're having, if you want to call it that. I don't know that there's any result, any metric that shows that it's going particularly well, but they're certainly getting a media boomlet out of it. And to kind of focus on this, you can look at what's weird about the Democratic Party, right? Like, that's an easy way. The normal thing is to say, okay, well, they're calling us weird. Well, aren't they the weird ones? Like, for example, this headline, which I love: "Amid book bans, DEI cuts, and don't say gay laws, 7 states will mandate LGBTQ inclusive curricula." Now, There's no such thing as a don't say gay law. Does not exist. Also, book bans don't exist. That's not what, there's none of that stuff happens. We've discussed what it actually does, and it's not that. DEI cuts are happening. That is real, because people don't like it. In fact, it's an overwhelmingly unpopular series of programs. But inducing and mandating LGBTQ inclusive educational materials to children, it's kind of weird. Right. Like, I think everyone knew, like, take out the whole gay thing for a second. Everyone knew that men and women had heterosexual sex. Right. That's a thing. It went on for a really long time. It's kind of the reason why we have an ongoing species. And for a very long time, that existed and yet was not taught to kids. Why now does the alternative lifestyle, why would that be taught to kids? At some point, you get to a point like in high school, maybe, where they start teaching you about reproductive health and sexual education. You can go back and forth on what level that should go to, what age, what should be taught in those classes. But mandating LGBTQ inclusive criteria and curriculum to children, this is weird. It's always been the opposite of what you do. Weird. Harris puts abortion, a weakness for Trump, at the center of the campaign. Now, look, I don't know if it's a weakness for Trump. There's not a ton of evidence that supports that, but it does seem like it's a good political issue, or at least the best one they have right now on the left. But, like, is keeping children alive the weird option? Seems to me that wanting children's hearts to stop is the weird thing. I think babies being alive is the normal side of that argument. Maybe I'm wrong in this country. I don't know. We've had really strange things happen in global history. Maybe we're embracing a new regime to go down those roads. How about this? The bloody reality of the Olympics opening ceremony. Olympic-level bigotry has infected the highest levels of the globe's governing elite. We all know what happened in the opening ceremony, and that was crazy. But I'm going to talk about this maybe with Jill here in a second. But, like, I also caught a glimpse of the female boxing, which is repulsive to me when it's a woman fighting a woman. I don't want to see women punched in the face. I don't think that's a good entertainment source. That being said, the Olympics now has men who are posing as women, beating other women, actual women, up. This is the downfall of all humanity. It's what it is. It's the downfall of all society. If we're going to sit here and embrace men beating up women for sport, how the hell are we better than the Romans? I don't know. I mean, I'd have to go back in my history. I don't remember them having men beating the hell out of women in the Colosseum. Maybe they did that. All I know is it's a terrible idea for us today. That I do know. Now, the left has been going on and on and on calling Donald Trump Hitler. People are tired of it. They're moving on. It's no longer effective. It will be interesting, though, as we go down this campaign to see if Donald Trump can effectively adapt to this type of new strategy. They've decided this full frontal assault is not going to work, and they're going to come around the opposite side of the castle. Can Donald Trump defend against that? Can they come up with a way for J.D. Vance to defend against this? Because right now what's happened is J.D. Vance's answers on this are all fine. They're all fine. When you listen to it, like, what about people who have a disease and can't have children? Yeah, he addressed that at length in that speech. If you actually listen to the speech, you'd know that, but no one's going to do that. They need to come up with a way to push back against that that is successful. Now, the left, on the other hand, is like, well, we're losing, so why not try something else? They got nothing to lose here. They're already losing this election. It's close, though, too close for comfort if you happen to be someone who cares about the Constitution. The media, of course, is going to pivot to whatever the Democrats want and just promote that constantly. That's what happened when the power structure decided, well, you know what? We want Joe Biden out. They pivoted. They destroyed him. They ruined his candidacy. And then they left him on the side of the road like a piece of meat and have now moved on as if nothing ever happened. Kamala, I will be honest with you, hasn't even done anything yet. Kamala's rollout is being praised. Have you seen her in a speech? The only appearance she's made of any note has been on RuPaul's Drag Race. And they're acting like this has been an incredible rollout. Why? Because they want it to be an incredible rollout. What they want is the truth. That's how this works. over and over again. They're pushing their agenda. They want Donald Trump out of the White House. They want now, I guess, Kamala Harris in the White House. And they will do anything they can to make that happen. It doesn't mean it's going to work, but man, they're going to damn sure try. I've been telling you about Gen 90, which is the latest breakthrough from our friends at Jenny's Hill when it comes to the world of skincare. And did you know it also works on bags and puffiness under your eyes instantly? You can instantly reduce the appearance of looking older anywhere you use it, around the eyes, the forehead, the crow's feet, laugh lines, even the chin. And you don't have to worry about your skin or your confidence ever again. Gen 90 technology is luxurious. It's paraben-free. It's silky smooth. And it works really right away. It's in seconds. And you can say, well, I don't believe it's going to work in seconds. And that, honestly, I can understand the skepticism. It's a big claim. But they will give you your money back if it doesn't work for you. So it's hard to see how there's anything to lose here. Genucel's classic under-eye bags and puffiness serum comes with every Gen 90 order, and their luxurious Genucel XV collagen builder and moisturizer. Got vitamin C, got the hyaluronic acid. It's got all the good stuff in there. You get stunning results day after day after day. Go to Genucel.com right now. Get an incredible package, over 50% off during Genucel's spring sale. Results guaranteed or your money back. Genucel.com/stew. Genucel.com/stew. You get a free limited edition spa box and bonus gifts, plus free shipping if you order now. Genucel.com/stew. It's GENUCEL.com/stew.
Kaffee in seiner besten Form mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Tchibo. In jeder Cubo-Kapsel steckt Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Für Espresso, Kaffeecremer oder Kaffee Grande auf Knopfdruck. Die neue Cubo One überzeugt mit Premium-Design, kompakter Größe und kleinem Einstiegspreis ab 29 Euro. Dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie wird jede Tasse besonders aromatisch mit samtiger Crema. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo-Kapselmaschinen in deiner Tchibo-Filiale und auf tchibo.de.
I'm joined once again by Jill Savage. She's the host of Blaze News Tonight. You know, that's right here on Blaze TV, part of your Blaze TV subscription. You can watch it every night with Jill. Jill, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you. Yeah, it'd be weird if it wasn't on the Blaze, if we called it Blaze News Tonight.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, you could see it pop it over to Fox at some point. We'll have to talk to him about that. See if you just go right over there. What's it like starting a new show? This is like different for you. You came from the world of sports.
I did.
And now you're doing news. What's it like?
Well, it's been actually pretty easy because we've had several once-in-a-generation news stories that have happened since we launched. We launched on the Thursday before the Trump assassination attempt.
Oh, my God. That's right.
So everything since then has been complete chaos. And then the Sunday afternoon X dump, as everyone could see coming, Joe Biden's social media manager decided that he was going to step aside. Yeah. And so we've had that to deal with as well. So it actually feels a little weird to only be talking about J.D. Vance's weird from the Kamala Harris camp.
Yeah.
Like, that's such a letdown coming out of this weekend.
It is. It's like really calm.
What are we doing?
We started this show in February of 2020. So like 4 weeks before like the entire world shut down for COVID. And like I always feel like it's our problem. Like, we started the show. It obviously put some sort of series of events in order that caused the shutdown of the country. Look what you've done, though. Your show gets launched, and now it's been nonstop chaos ever since.
I say welcome to the chaos. That's how I welcome people into the show. I didn't know that it was going to be so true. That was actually going to happen. I would rethink that now, knowing what I know now.
Yeah, it's disturbing. It's disturbing. Okay, let's talk about weirdness. That's the new key word. We just talked about it in the monologue. J.D. Vance is weird. And this is, to me, it seems targeted specifically to largely single women, which Democrats do very well with, right? Like they do. That's the one group, you know, men go with Republicans typically, married women go with Republicans typically, percentage-wise. Single women is the one place where Democrats seem to dominate. And they seem to be doubling, tripling, quadrupling down on this by making these comments from J.D. Vance. into these highly controversial remarks. I mean, did you listen to it? You listened to the speech. Did you find them controversial?
No, not at all. But I think that J.D. Vance is so normal, and Hollywood made the mistake of making a movie about his life already.
Yeah.
And Amy Adams, and, you know, everybody has been watching it on Netflix. Like, that week that he was announced as the VP pick for Donald Trump, that was over like 1,000% jump on Netflix, and it's still in the top 10 as of this weekend. I think that they realized, oh, crap, we've made him normal. Now, what do we have to do for these, you know, the cat ladies?
Yeah.
Right. That they're like, OK, how do we make him weird? We're literally just going to lean into this and call him weird and hope it sticks, because there's no way that you can look at a J.D. Vance and say that he's weird when you see their guys are like the transvestite cross-dressing. I don't know. Some of them are actually men. Some of them think that they're women.
Right.
Like they are going and promoting this at the White House all the time. The guy on the White House lawn, the guy with the nails, with the phone, that's like, hey, we're back, we're here. Everything that they do is weird, and it's always comes back to Democrats projecting onto Republicans what they actually are. So, you know, someone was like, okay, you guys, we're weird, so we're just going to call them weird and hope that nobody looks at us anymore.
Yeah, and it wouldn't make any sense as a strategy unless you knew you had the media in lockstep, right?
Yeah.
If you knew whatever you said would be echoed with credibility by the media nonstop for as long as you needed it to go on, it gets a lot easier to do campaign strategy, right?
Pravda, it makes it so much easier.
It does.
When you know that you're not going to be questioned, absolutely. And I think that's one of the reasons why we have something like a Blaze News Tonight, is because there is such a void right now in people that are willing to tell you what's actually going on.
Yeah, I keep watching this stuff, and so much of it just feels like gaslighting, right? Like, they have to know that calling a dad who grew up in poverty, who rose up through the ranks, joined the military, became successful in finance, wrote a book about his life that was a bestseller, got it made into a movie, is now the vice president. Like, that's an incredible American story. And they're like, oh, that's weird. They have to know that their side is much weirder. Let me give you an example of why I find their side weird for
Please
just
do.
A moment, because we talked about the Olympics. You have the Olympics, you have the crazy transgender dances, they're mocking the Last Supper, they're doing all of that. And I find that incredibly offensive, but not even remotely as close to the offensiveness level of watching female boxing, where it is one woman against a guy who is just saying he's a woman. We, for entertainment purposes, are now putting a man in a ring to punch women in the freaking face. I am so angered by it, I can't even describe it. And we're the ones that are weird. They are supporting that kind of behavior, and somehow we're the weird ones.
There are so many different avenues that we could go down for this. Now, if you look at the opening ceremonies, like you mentioned, okay, that's somebody with an idea, and it's a Frenchman, so okay, right?
Like, the Frenchman just explains it. There you go.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the athletes themselves, right, I definitely am of the camp, as a former sports reporter, whatever you do on the opening ceremonies, that's, you know, you might have different tastes than somebody else. But the sports themselves, I don't think that the athletes should be punished because some guy had a terrible idea and nobody liked it. Now, yes, terrible, 100%.
Yep.
But they're completely separate things. So we get into boxing, of all things, right? Like, if there is a male-female sport that should be split, 100%, it should be boxing. No dude should be able to come in and go box up against a female. Someone is going to get seriously injured. Now, I have been following this story, and IOC spokesperson Mark Adams was asked about this. And his line of response went something like this. Well, if they say that they're a female on their passport, then they have been allowed to participate as a female. Okay. I have problems with that if you're not actually a female, but okay, you're doing that. And then he went on to say, well, these have been the rules since 2016, since the Tokyo Games. So basically,
all the way back in ancient history, 2016.
The rules are the rules, Stu. And so you have terrible rules in place since 2016. And I'm supposed to sit here and just take that for your word? Like, this is the best that we can do, is you've tricked whatever country you're from into saying that you're a female on your passport when you're not.
Right.
And we've been doing this for about 8 years, so let's just go with it.
Yeah.
Why question it now?
Why question it now? I saw I think it was Riley Green tweeting about this story today, or Xing, or whatever that's called. And she...
Riley Gaines.
What did I say?
Green.
Riley Green is the baseball player. Yeah. Sorry. He's on my fantasy team. That's why it's on my head.
I hope he's doing well for you.
Yeah, he's hurt right now. But Riley Gaines. Sorry about that. Riley Gaines is doing... she's tweeting about this. And she says something I totally agree with, which is, imagine if you're a female boxer. You've gone up. You've done all this work to get to the freaking Olympics. You've risen to this level. And then you come into the Olympics and you got to fight some dude.
Yeah.
And I totally agree with her on that. And I really agree with it on every other sport a lot more, though, because in this one, it's like we're talking about domestic violence. We're talking about a woman getting beat up. This is not some swimming time being defeated.
Right.
It's all that's wrong, and it's important. I'm not demeaning it, but this is violence against women.
Right.
This is the violence against women from the party that told us Me Too needs to be enforced on guys who make bad jokes at work. They're allowing women to get punched in the face over and over and over again for entertainment. It should be illegal, let alone it's just wrong.
Yeah, Riley Gaines obviously had this in the NCAA championships where she competed against a male swimmer. I remember the weightlifting category had a man in it for a while. Again, that's just one person lifting weights on their own.
It's bad.
That's bad.
But it's not like this.
This is worse because somebody is going to get seriously, seriously injured in this.
Or killed.
Potentially could be. So why not at this point just say, okay, this is completely absurd. Let's just create a separate category. And if females want to enter into this at their own will, by all means, you could have a third category. But Stu, it only goes one way, right? Like you don't ever see, there's no females that have transitioned to male that are now competing against the men
in
the Olympics. It doesn't happen because it's a disadvantage for them, and they know it.
They know it. Everyone knows it, including all the crazy people that are like, well, if his passport says that she's a woman, then she's a woman. They all know it, too. It's like everyone's in this fake world where we're all lying to ourselves publicly, and like the results of that can be as bad, like a swimming world record being broken that's unfair to every woman who's ever competed, but also can be like someone who's getting beaten, end up in the hospital or worse. I watched some of that video today, and it's like it angers me. Like this is probably sexist, but like I don't even like want to watch female boxing. I don't want to watch women get hit in the face.
Right.
I have no desire to see it. I don't want to see them hit each other in the face. I don't want to see it at all. Maybe that makes me prude or whatever. But when you're talking about a guy doing it, it's just like it's so wrong and reprehensible that I can't believe there are any defenders of it.
No, and I think with Ronda Rousey was UFC.
Yeah.
Right. And there was like a brief moment in time where people cared about that.
Yeah,
and I think that's fallen off too. I think everybody is kind of with you on this, Stu. Nobody, it's not a huge push behind watching all these women go out there and fight.
Yeah, probably not. Okay, there is a huge push behind Caitlin Clark over to the WNBA. I know you're a huge fan, as am I. I love watching her play. She has completely changed the trajectory of this league, right? Like it was single-handedly has come in and taken this league that, honestly, it's been 30 years of basically nothing in the WNBA. It's had its moments here or there, but it's never really had a huge audience. All of a sudden, the audience numbers are almost as good as the WNBA. I just heard an estimate. It's about a quarter less now. It's like, about 300,000 less per game, which is really close to what regular NBA games are doing. They just signed this massive deal, and there's a noticeable change.
There is. Yeah, they have actually gone through and tripled the amount that they're going to get paid every single year for the new WNBA TV contract. They were getting paid $60 million a year in their current deal, and that number is going to jump to $200 million a year, which is exactly known as the Caitlin Clark effect.
Yes, that's 100% her.
It always is. And it's funny because I think that people are still trying to downplay it. Like, oh, yeah, Caitlin's great for the league, but look at all these other people. Yeah. It's the freshman, the rookie class that's coming in now. And everybody's excited about so many of these players. No, you guys, it's Caitlin. And it's okay to say it's Caitlin. And by the way, Dawn Stanley, who is the South Carolina women's coach, was recently on record. She was interviewed as saying, oh man, if Caitlin was playing like she was playing right now towards the end of the WNBA, right before the break for the Olympics, she'd actually make the Olympic team.
Yeah.
No, Dawn.
Yeah.
She was playing this way
the whole time.
But now it's so obvious that she had 19 assists in one game, which is a single game record for the WNBA. And they were like, oh, she's doing things that nobody's ever done before. We're going to look real dumb if we don't say that she should be in.
Yeah.
So let's just go ahead and get that on record right now. So when they come back at me, I'll say, oh, no, I said that she should be in there. Look, I said it in that interview.
Sure.
When it didn't matter, when it was all over, when nobody could change anything.
And she leads the league in assists, by the way.
Yeah, and she has, I believe she's 26 games into her career, and I saw the stat where she has 75% more assists than the entire record of the league ever. Right. She is doing things that nobody else has been able to do. And she's just starting. Now,
starting.
Like it's a huge gap between, you know, to that top 25% for the assists. But she's already in that number.
It's amazing. And I will say you mentioned that, you know, everyone would downplay it. And it's, of course, it's true that it is 100% Caitlin Clark. But what I love about her is the first person who would downplay it would be Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
If you asked her, she'd say, no, there's great play. She never feeds into it. She always handles every situation correctly. Like, it's really an amazing thing to watch. We got to take a break, though. Jill Savage, you know, look, her show's coming up. You'll get more Jill in a little bit. Just wait for it. It's Blaze News Tonight right here on Blaze TV. Jill, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you. Anytime.
So there are those who lead and there are those who follow. And when you're looking for someone who who's going to represent you when you're buying or selling a home, especially in a crazy housing market like we have right now, what you need is a leader, not a follower. You need someone who's going to be able to take you over the finish line and also, you know what they're doing. I feel like a lot of times you get real estate agents that don't quite know what they're doing. They're jumping in. They're taking a little dip of their toes into the waters, just trying to see if they like it. You don't really need to have somebody like that. You need to have someone that knows what they're doing. And that's why realestateagentsitrust.com exists. Realestateagentsitrust.com was a company started by our own Glenn Beck years ago to help you find the best agent in your area. So whether you're buying or selling a home or both, get in touch with them. You're gonna see like what I mean. This is something we've been talking about for a while, but it makes a real difference. We're talking about your biggest investment here. Don't blow it. realestateagentsitrust.com. The name kind of says it all. This is a free service to you. It's realestateagentsitrust.com, realestateagentsitrust.com.
Bezahlen läuft für dich sowieso nur mit dem Handy? Dann hol dir doch was von deiner Kohle zurück. Denn in allen Restaurants und Bars gibt's jetzt 5% Cashback, wenn du mit PayPal zahlst. Tap dir mehr mit PayPal. Alle Infos gibt's auf paypal.de. 5% Cashback nur auf Einkäufe vor Ort in Restaurants und Bars in Deutschland bei kontaktloser Zahlung mit PayPal. Gültig vom 2. Juni bis 19. Juli 2026 für die ersten 850.000 berechtigten Kunden. Maximal 15 Euro Cashback pro Konto. Es gelten Bedingungen auf paypal.de.
So Donald Trump had a little controversy a few days ago where he said that Christians won't have to vote anymore if they vote for him. And it, you know, quite clearly was just a comment basically saying like, I don't care if you vote after that. I'm going to have all the problems fixed. Don't worry about that. I'm going to nail all this and you won't have to worry about voting anymore. You know, Trump says stuff like that, basically saying, and he said this before, like with, he kind of like he'll make these big deals about things and then be like, oh, well, you know, like, actually, I'm not going to go after Hillary Clinton. That's over. The election's over. I don't need to go put Hillary Clinton in jail. Like, he makes these big promises, and they're kind of tongue-in-cheekish. So I don't think anybody really takes it seriously that he's going to shut down all elections. Of course, the left is acting like they do. And then Donald Trump has this way of handling these situations that maybe not helpful, which is he's given an easy off-ramp by Laura Ingraham in a question about this, and he just basically avoids answering the question. She basically went to him and said, hey, you know, people are saying that you think there's going to be no more elections. That's not true, right? And he's like, well, Christians do need to come out and vote. Just kind of ignored it. This is the way Trump always handles these situations, because I think he likes this back and forth, people talking about him. He's getting angry people on the left. I think he thinks it helps. And so that's the way he handles it. Kamala Harris has shared an old Federalist podcast clip to claim that J.D. Vance supports Project 2025, which, of course, did not exist because it was a 2021 interview. You know, does any of that matter? Of course not. Not going to be fact checked. J.D. Vance also getting hit in the New York Times. J.D. Vance, an unlikely friendship and why it ended. This is a clip this is a story about J.D. Vance and a person who is transgendered that he apparently was friends with, like, back in college. And we're supposed to believe that J.D. Vance is this hate monger, but he was friends with this trans person through a college. They were close friends. They kept in contact afterward. As he developed his sort of conservative credentials, they wound up, ending their friendship. And this is how this ends. Again, this is supposed to be bad for J.D. Vance. I don't know if it's he or she, honestly, but they write, do you support the AR legislation criminalizing and providing medical care to trans kids? J.D. Vance writes, I do. I recognize this is awkward, but I'll always be honest with you. I think the trans thing with kids is so unstudied that it amounts to a form of experimentation. And then the trans person writes, it deeply saddens me that you feel that way, especially given that it has been studied and it's consensus and blah, 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 blah. I know I can't change your mind, but you've changed. And so then the friendship was over. Now, first of all, that's supposed to make J.D. Vance look bad, like he's mean. I think he handled that completely fine. The fact that they disagree, sometimes friends fall apart because of politics, not that big of a deal. But on the other hand, what is a big deal is you're trash. If you're going back, if you are friends with somebody, an old friend with somebody, and then you go back and search through your text messages to find stuff to try to ruin his life after he's become successful, that makes you trash. Okay? No matter who you are, whether you're trans, whether you're straight, whether you're white, whether you're black, doesn't matter. If you're like, you know what, I had that friend 20 years ago, let me see if I can find something controversial he said so I can leak it to the New York Times and make myself feel better. I can chase clout on my own to ruin their life. You're trash if you do that. Back in a second. So are your God-given freedoms up for the taking? See, it certainly kind of seems like that, and the people going after them seem to be the ones that are supposed to be protecting you. Huh. They think they can violate your right to protect your own family, and not to mention force their delusions onto your children and control the media and hide the truth. But what they can take away is your self-reliance, your peace of mind that comes with self-reliance. If you have water filtration, if you have a solar generator, if you have emergency food on your shelf, you're shielded from, like, most of the stuff that can go wrong. You're cushioned from really bad outcomes. Well, My Patriot Supply can help you with this. Having served millions of American families, My Patriot Supply is the most trusted name in survival, and for good reason, because preparewithstew.com has great deals right now. You can save $200 on their best-selling three-month emergency food kit. It delivers over 2,000 calories a day, sealed inside basically unpierceable packaging. It lasts up to 25 years. And as you may know, this is the thing I love about it most, because I only have to think about it once every quarter century. I'm lazy and I don't like to do things. So I ordered my stuff from preparewithstew.com, preparewithstew.com. It came and then I have it for 25 years. You can get $200 per kit off right now, plus free shipping included. It's at preparewithstew.com from My Patriot Supply. It's preparewithstew.com. More than half of American renters who want to buy a home fear they will never afford one. This is from CNN. The vast majority, 86% of current renters in the United States, say they would like to buy a home but can't afford one. Among those same renters who can't afford to buy a home right now, 54% think it's unlikely they'll ever be able to. Now, look, there's a lot of failures out there in life. Bad luck hits people. You might not be able to buy a home. I mean, the fact that more than half of these people are going to buy homes eventually. A little pessimism out there. I will say I'm a little bit more bullish on renting than a lot of people, largely because if you combine renting with living sensibly and putting money away, it could be a great way to start a life. You don't need to own a home at 22 or 25 or 30. Sometimes it's better to own later. I would have rented much longer than we wound up doing if I didn't get locked into a career and have to stay in one particular spot. I kind of like renting, frankly. I think it's you know, there's a lot of benefits to it. But that being said, if you want to buy a home, it's kind of sad that people can't afford it, and especially with the market and the way that these rates are today. It's really, really hard for families, especially younger ones, to get over that hump. And I don't know, you invest and you're spending all this money on interest. You got to hope eventually these rates come down and you can refinance, but it is going to be a challenge. This is a challenging market. And the other side of this is so many of these families have 3% mortgages. Do you ever want to leave your home when you have a 3% mortgage? It seems insane. So all of that is going on at the same time. And all the stuff that we talked about today is important, but this is what's really hitting families. These are really important issues to people and voters, and the Republicans need to find a way to focus attention on that aspect of what's going on rather than all the side stuff, because if they can get focused on this, Donald Trump's going to be the next president. No matter where you watch or listen to the show, I'd appreciate it if you take a second. Go over to a podcast feed where you're of your choice and search for Stu Does America. There, you will get this show every single day, but you'll also get the State of the Race podcast. We're going to have a new episode coming out tomorrow, giving you a state of the race, presidential race right around the corner. We'll get into the Senate and the House stuff as well in coming weeks. State of the Race, wherever you get your podcasts, go there, follow, rate, and review.
Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections?
Nö, nur die Wieso-Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Plötzlich fühle ich mich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Tiefenentspannt mit Wieso-Steuer.